David Benner, in his book Surrender to Love, writes, "The concept of surrender has come upon hard times in recent years. Some view it too close to submission. Others associate it with codependence or an abdication of personal power. Consequently, the notion of surrendering to anything or anyone has become suspect. However, far from being a sign of weakness, only surrender to something or someone bigger than us is sufficiently strong to free us from the prison of our egocentricity. Only surrender is powerful enough to overcome our isolation and alienation. Christians often focus on obedience more than surrender. But while the two concepts are closely related, they differ in important ways. Surrender is foundational to Christian spirituality and is the soil out of which obedience should grow. Christ does not simply want our compliance. He wants our heart. He wants our love, and he offers us his. He invites us to surrender to his love. And this is exactly what Christ modeled before us, as is recorded in our text today, known as the Christ hymn. Let us pray. God, we are grateful that you have called us to be here today. God, we pray that we would surrender to you in this time. God, you call us to a childlike faith, and a child cannot control their obedience or disobedience. They simply surrender. May we be found faithful today as we surrender to you. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Paul has just encouraged us to a way of humility, a way of living with God and with each other. And now in verse 5, as this text opens for us today, Paul gives us a clue in how to do this. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Our mindset is our attitude, our thinking towards, our predisposition towards life and relationship and love. And this then is how Jesus' mindset is to influence us. And I want to suggest to you that as we look at this, maybe Paul's pinnacle work here in the Christ hymn, as we look at this, that first we're going to see Jesus as the Son of God surrendering to his Father. And then secondly, we are going to find that Jesus, out of that depth of surrender, in that trusting relationship, will become obedient. You see, Jesus understands that surrender comes first, obedience second. So Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, then verse 6, who, being in the very nature God, that means that Jesus was by nature divine. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. This is known as the great emptying of Christ. You see, Jesus emptied himself. Though he was divine and he remained divine, he didn't count it equal with God. He put that, if you will, on the shelf as he took on flesh. That's the incarnation. In Chronicles, we know that God comes to those who surrender and avail himself to him. So 2 Corinthians then, we also hear from Paul in this way, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, rich in divinity, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And so Jesus emptied himself. Jesus gave up his richness, his vast authority and power, and stepped in to human flesh. Then in Romans, Paul says it this way, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." See, this is what Jesus did. In the emptying of himself, in becoming nothing, he didn't regard himself anymore in power and authority as divine, but as fully human. And so his power and authority came through God by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the quintessential surrender. And then we're encouraged in our lives to have this same mindset. This means to be like Jesus, to also surrender anything that we might have in our lives over to God, and everything we have in our lives over to God. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "A great man is always willing to be little." That's what Jesus did. He was big, and he stepped into littleness. The encouragement here is to empty ourselves, to surrender, to become nothing. But this is countercultural, isn't it? In our lives, we're taught to build, climb the company ladder, make something of yourself. Have you ever heard that before? Make something of yourself. But the way of the cross is to make nothing of ourselves and everything of God. This is what Jesus did. Secondly, in 7b, Jesus did this, says Paul, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And Jesus knew all too well what it was to serve. In our gospel text, we have James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Now, you got to like these dudes, right? They're a lot like us. They want to be on the right and the left, positions of power and authority with Christ in the kingdom to come. Jesus says, well, that's not how it is in my kingdom. He says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. This is surrender. This is the emptying of ourselves and surrendering to God. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is with the disciples on that fateful Passover night, the night in which he was betrayed. They enter into the upper room that was prepared for them to share this feast. And what's the first thing that Jesus does? After having walked miles in their sandals without socks, by the way, it's biblical. It's biblical. Jesus bends down, takes a bowl of water and a towel, and begins to wipe their feet. This is the act of a servant. Oh, Peter throws a big hissy fit and says, "Jesus, no way are you going to wipe my feet." And Jesus says, "I must wipe your feet." You see, Jesus takes on the nature of a servant. This is surrender. He emptied himself. This is surrender to God. And even in his servitude, he empties himself before us, washing our feet. Jesus, how dare you? Number three, in the beginning of verse 8, this is the mindset of Jesus that we're encouraged to take on. Again, another form of surrender, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself. To be humble means, in my definition of things, to know that God is God and I am not. The positional understanding, I am not God. God is God. In 2 Chronicles, as Norm read it for us, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. It's a reminder that we are to take on the position of humility before God and before each other. This is also an act of what? Surrender. We haven't even gotten to obedience yet, have we? We've only talked about surrender, and this is the mindset of Christ. Surrender. 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 Empty yourself. Surrender. Become a servant. Surrender. Humble yourself. Surrender. And all surrender before God. The problem is in our 20th and now 21st century Christian America, we've been all about obedience, obedience, obedience before surrender. But this isn't the Jesus way. It's out of his surrender that he has the heart to become obedient. And so we catch up with Paul in the end of verse 8. See, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It was out of Jesus' emptying, out of his service, out of his humble mindset and attitude that he becomes obedient to death on a cross. It's out of this surrender that Jesus finally says to the Lord, his Father, not my will, but yours be done. In 2 Chronicles, again from the Lord, as for you, if you walk before me faithfully as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne. As I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. Friends, I truly think that we hear in the Christ hymn a call to surrender. And out of that surrender, obedience, not the other way around. Charles Spurgeon once said, I think that it is a better thing than thanksgiving, thanks living. How is this to be done? By a general cheerfulness of manner, by an obedience to the command of him by whose mercy we live, by a perpetual, constant delighting of ourselves in the Lord, and by a submission, that's surrender, of our desires to his will. Surrender comes before obedience. But this is a new paradigm for many of us. I grew up in a church that talked about obedience, obedience, obedience. Obey God's word. Pray. Have a quiet time. Follow his commands. And those are all good things because we are called to obedience. But I didn't hear much about surrender, about humbling myself, about emptying myself, about serving others. You know, we're going through this book, Mansions of the Heart, and it's been a good study for our congregation in our small groups, and quite admittedly, it's been a hard study for many of us. And I want to suggest to you, it's because we've put obedience before surrender. Because in Mansions of the Heart, Ashbrook is calling us to surrender, not obey. To surrender, to serve, to become humble, to empty ourselves. The place that we're comfortable is in the place of obedience, because that's the place where we do. We can control obedience. I can do more. I can do Bible study. I can do prayer. This is the place, obedience, where it's black and white, where it's either right or it's wrong. This place of obedience really helps us focus on being obedient to death, that we might receive the crown of life, and our focus is in the future. In this place of obedience, it's this place of I ought to do these things, and I owe God for what he's done for me. In this place of obedience, we come to know about God. This place of obedience is a focus on the ends, not the means. But this place of surrender is totally different than those things. It leads to obedience. Don't get me wrong. That's very important. But it begins with surrender. And so our minds are kind of swirling around. But I've obeyed. But I can control. I know what this is about. But we've been challenged to be on this side of the equation, to surrender. And in surrender, it's not doing for God, it's what? Being with God. That's what surrender is. We just be. Surrender is not about black and white or right or wrong. It's more about the gray area of life where God's presence is always with us no matter what's happening. This is a place that's now. As Dallas Willard said, the kingdom has come. In surrender, we surrender to the kingdom now. We're not waiting for it. This is a place of I can be with God. I don't owe God. This is the place where we are with the Lord and not just know about him. This place of surrender is about the process, the means, not the end. And it's messing with our heads, isn't it? But Jesus reminds us in his mindset, in his attitude, that we are to surrender first, live in this place, and be obedient out of our surrender. Hang in there, friends. You can do this. We can do this as God changes us, as we take on his mindset, as we surrender, as we empty ourselves, as we serve each other, as we take a posture of humility. I want to close with a short quote again from our book, Surrender to Love. Benner says, Christianity puts surrender right at the core of the spiritual journey. Christ following is saying yes to God's affirming yes of us. If it is anything less than a response of surrender to love, then Christ following is not fully Christian. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.